are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Football Tuesday, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Going to hear from Gerard Cherry in a little less than an hour from now, around 2:05 or so. We'll bring him in as a regular on this show by phone. And then Tom Withers will join us in studio. He covers the Browns and all of Cleveland sports for the Associated Press. So we'll get his perspective on what's going on with practice and with training camp and with this Browns team heading for its second preseason game. That's Thursday night against the Detroit Lions at First Energy Stadium. You can call us 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Want to see if you've been out at training camp, what your biggest camp takeaways have been. Today is the last day for the public to come out and watch practice. Starts at 4 p.m. today here in Berea. So the final day for that. So if you've been out there for any of the previous of the 15 sessions that have been held to date, what are some of the takes that you have from that? We'd love to hear. And you can tweet those too, at @Browns_daily. It's Vic Carucci, again, Nathan Zagura. And the use of Trent Richardson or the non-use of Trent Richardson, whether he will play Thursday night, did not play last Thursday night against the Rams, and has kind of been limited in some of the work that he's been doing in practice, but none of it is because he's lacking in health. In fact, here's what Trent Richardson has to say about how he feels.
It's the best I've felt in a long time, even, you know, since college, man. It's the best I've felt in a long time. I feel, you know, ready to go, and, you know, coach give me that green light, I'm going to be ready, and I'm going to be in there for my team and working hard for them.
You know, I don't want to say this is a perfect comparison to this, but I got some RG3 thoughts in my head when I heard this, because Robert Griffin III, and it's a whole different deal where he's going back and forth with Mike Shanahan, and it's been kind of an ongoing, there's friction. Shanahan got a lot of criticism, understandably, right, because he played him in that playoff game after the knee injury and so on and so forth, and exposed him to a lot of hits in the way the offense was run. So now he wants to shut him down for the preseason. RG3 says, no, I want to play now, after indicating at first he didn't want to play. Here's Trent Richardson, clearly not happy that he didn't get to play against the Rams. Maybe he won't play against the Lions. He is chomping at the bit, wants to play.
I am fine with that, and I love that he wants to play, and I'm also fine and love the fact that he's probably not going to play this week, and I'm okay if he does not play in week 3 or week 4. Now, would I like to see him get hit once before September 8th so that he can get that feel and get up? Absolutely. But when you look at a guy like LaDainian Tomlinson, who was the franchise back for Norv Turner down in San Diego, and you look at what he did in his career, you notice that in 2007, he didn't take any snaps at all in the preseason. In 2008, he didn't take any snaps at all in the preseason. That 2007 season, all he did was have, you know, 1,900 total yards and 18 touchdowns. So I don't think running backs need it as much as other positions, per se. In his best year, 2006, LaDainian Tomlinson took, you guessed it, no snaps in the preseason. That year, he rushed for 1,850 yards and 28 touchdowns. And in the very first game, if you wonder about rust, 31 carries, 131 yards, and a score. So I don't think it's a concern. The fact that Trent Richardson is as healthy as he has been since college, to me, is music to my ears. And I want the same thing to be true on September the 8th. I want the status that he has right now as he feels about his health to be the exact same on September the 8th, because that's when it starts. That's when it matters. If he decides to go out there and get hit a little bit, if the coaches decide that's the best thing for him, that's fine. But I have absolutely no problem with him not playing. I don't think it says anything about preferential treatment. I think that Norv Turner has a history of doing this with great success with a great running back in LaDainian Tomlinson. And I don't think there is absolutely anything wrong with it whatsoever. I know my buddy Brian Westbrook, who played very successfully in the National Football League, would tell you, you want to get hit maybe once, but you don't need to get hit to be ready to go out there and play week 1.
All right. I got some thoughts on this too, but first let's hear what Rob Jedzinski has to say about the plan for evaluating Richardson's readiness.
I have an idea of what I want to get done. We'll talk in detail. I'll give you a little more outline tomorrow overall on what we're going to do, and then again, a lot of it's going to depend in terms of all the guys, but, you know, where they're at from a health perspective. We've got a lot of guys that have started to work this week and coming back, and so I'll give you more detail then the day before the game on those specific guys.
All right. And in tomorrow, the context was, of course, today, because that was Chud after yesterday's practice. Okay, the plan, the plan, the plan. We've heard a lot about the plan. And I like the fact that, A, there is one. I do like that much.
Yes.
However, this is where I'm going to go with this. I think that you can definitely have room to second guess the way this is being done in this sense. A running back has to deal, and especially the way Richardson runs, all backs it's true with, but the way Richardson runs, you know, that first contact that he has to deal with, that contact that he deals with at the line and then explodes out. I mean, it's kind of his game. He's gonna, backs do take that first hit, and it's what they do beyond that, that really matters. And we saw last year the initial hit thing, and he didn't get the yards afterward that you know, this team I think wanted, certainly in a production, or he wanted, as extensively as it should have been for a back of his caliber. I think there's something to be said for getting used to the conditioning of hitting, to the muscle memory, whatever goes with it, to feel that. And if you go through camp and the entire preseason with none of that, which would essentially duplicate last year, because he underwent arthroscopic knee surgery and was gone from the preseason, and then his first action was his first regular season action. And I just wonder, Nathan, a little bit, if that set him back in certain ways. He did have a dynamic game in week two at Cincinnati, and it didn't look like he had any issues or problems there, the way he ran, generally speaking. But I just wonder, on a game-in and game-out basis, I know he was dealing with some physical issues. I guess the knee being the early one, and then later it was ribs. I just think that you probably are better if you get that chance to make some contact beforehand. I don't know how much is needed, and I also know there are two games left after Thursday night, but I would presume game four is not one where we're going to see any starters.
If we're going to see Trent Richardson, he's going to get a series in game three. But the difference between this year and last year already is all this time in camp, all of this time in practice. And granted, he's not getting hit, but they are thudding up a little bit in some of the full pad practices. It's not the same as getting hit in a game. I'll give you that.
Very little.
But he has gotten significantly more work this offseason than he did last offseason. So he's already, from a work standpoint, well ahead of where he was. I think he's going to be in game condition this year, where he probably was not last year. So I feel much better about Trent Richardson. If I'm going to see him at all, I want to see him for one series. I'd like to see him maybe get one carry, one catch, and that's it. And then I will see you September 8th, Mr. Richardson.
Yeah, I could go along with that. I could go along with that. But I also know there's going to be some... There's a lot of room for second guessing here if the plan, which is what this is filed under, the plan, in any way backfires, because you could reference the fact, well, he hardly did anything in the preseason, and look at what happens now. I'm not saying that it sets him up for something worse that could happen, or if anything did happen physically from an injury standpoint, or, you know, relative to a hard contact he took in a game, that it wouldn't have been the case, that wouldn't have happened if he had played, you know, through all preseason games.
Right.
But it still makes you wonder a little bit. And then the other part of it is you're going overboard to preserve him with the understanding that how vital is he going to be, especially in those first two games. I think it's setting up a scenario too where it's clear this team has got to lean on him heavily for those first two games, because none of the past passing game configurations that I can think of make me feel good. When you take Josh Gordon out of there, and as much as I like what Travis Benjamin could do, I don't see a natural fit for Benjamin as an outside guy. I think you're going to do a lot of mixing and matching, but I think you're doing a lot of handing off to number 33.
And that's why I'd like him to go into that game feeling as healthy and as rejuvenated and fresh as he can. He may touch the ball in those two games like 30 times.
Exactly.
Each game.
In each game.
So
yeah.
I think keeping him fresh, I think the worst thing that would could happen is if he were to play in a preseason game, and this is, I'm guessing, I don't know, this is my guess on their thought process. He goes in there, somebody rolls on his ankle. He goes in there in the preseason, somebody hits him, and he's got a minor ailment. I think they want him fresh and ready to carry a massive load the first 2 weeks there in those first two games against the Miami Dolphins, certainly September the 8th. And I think that that's the plan. And listen, it is a plan. It's a plan that Norv Turner has utilized in the past and has proven that it has worked. And this is not a situation where he's getting preferential treatment in the sense that, you know, he doesn't want to go out there and get the contact. This is a decision that is being made above him without, right. You know, I'm sure he's able to give input and they're saying, that's great. We appreciate it. We love the enthusiasm. Yeah. But at the same time, this is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. And this is why it's going to have the most success, because this Dolphins game is key September the 8th. That is a massive game for this football team. Then you go on the road against the Ravens. It's September the 15th for week number two. I think they want Trent Richardson to be the man for both of those games, and they want to keep him as fresh. And we've talked about this too, Vic. There is not anybody on this roster right now, especially with the injury, the thumb injury to Montario Hardison.
Yeah.
He just got back on the field, so now he's probably off of it again. There's nobody on this roster that can step in and do even an approximation of what Trent Richardson can do as a complete every down back who can run it and catch it. Deion Lewis has been phenomenal. I see him as a pass catcher. He's not afraid to get up in there. But if you start giving the ball to Deion Lewis 20 times a game, week after week, I don't know that Deion Lewis is going to be long for the world in the NFL.
No, the depth is a major concern. And you brought up Montario Hardesty. It's just a sad story. It's a story of a guy because this guy is easy to like and easy to root for as a person. You spend time around him. But the story of his career has been one big tape job. It's just been one thing after another physically, and the latest being a thumb injury. So I don't know how long it keeps him out or what the effect is, but it definitely gives you a sense of, okay, not only do you not have much in the way of depth, but whatever depth you did have just takes another physical hit. Lewis is really the best change-up answer, the most impactful answer at the position as we look at it right now. I do think Brandon Jackson can make a difference. I've been very high on what Brandon's been able to do in this camp. What I saw in that preseason game against the Rams, I think he's seizing an opportunity.
Absolutely.
Finally to get out there and show what he can do after being basically buried last year and a forgotten man by this previous coaching staff. The current coaches like what they see. And to Brandon's sake, to his credit, came into camp in top condition, explosive, open field running. I as good as anybody I can see as far as the open field is concerned. Now, what he doesn't have is the rare skills I think that Richardson possesses with wiggle and just, you know, getting away from people in the short area. But man, you get him a hole and he's gone. And I also think he's a plus in your blocking area. I think he's a plus as a receiver. I like what he's doing, and I think as this progresses, it could be a spot that he locks down. Okay, we've got much more coming up. As we mentioned, Gerard Cherry will join us at the top of the hour. We'll hear from him a little after that. And then Tom Withers from the Associated Press will be with us around 2:30 or so. Much more to talk about. And again, give us a shout, please, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. We'd love to hear from you. Love to hear if you've been out at training camp what your biggest takeaways are. Remember, the final public, the practice that's open to the public is today, 4 p.m. here in Berea. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Clock ticks till it breaks your glass and I drive.